So if you want one, raise your hand or your foot until somebody gets there. I'd like to see you raise your foot. There we go. We got one over here. He's got his foot up. Thank you to Gail for setting up yesterday's class. Appreciate it so much. We want to do it again, that's for sure. She's very helpful. You can put salt in your ear and then pull out toxins. No, I think it's in your pillow, right? People think we're weird. If they go to these classes, they'll know we're weird. But it works. Okay, if you'd like to put scripture on some of these, if we just limit ourselves to Revelation, you can do that. So you have heaven, earth, and hell. And when this happens, of course, we don't have dates on there. So you have on the far left, on the earth, church. So that's where we're at. We're still there. And we're waiting to be caught out. So church, that'd be Revelation 1, 2, and 3. Okay, rapture would be Revelation 4 and 5. And then Jacob's trouble. Okay, Jacob's trouble, the specific passage for that is Jeremiah 30, verse 7. But that'll be Revelation 6 through 19. Jacob's trouble is also called the end. It's called the last days. Probably the most popular title would be tribulation. That's Daniel's 70th week. That's another title for it. And a little while is another title. So it's got about six different names that describes this brief time period. A little shorter than seven, but seven-year time period. And then at the judgment seat of Christ, that's not mentioned in Revelation. That'd be 1 Corinthians 3. Marriage supper of the Lamb, which takes place in heaven, that'd be Revelation 19, 7 through 9. And then the Lord's army, that's Joel chapter 2. So that's born again believers. So for the church, when it goes from church to rapture, then the church goes upwards to the judgment seat, marriage supper, Lord's army, second coming. Boom, coming back down. So we kind of, what goes up must come down. So we go up and then come back down. Okay, Jacob's trouble is a one world economy under the control of 666. Then one world government, religion. Then Armageddon, that's Revelation 16, 16. That's where that word is found, the only time. And so what we're going to work on this morning is judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And at the same time or prior to the judgment of the nations, the Antichrist and false prophet get fired. And the devil gets bound for 1,000 years, and then he gets fired at the end of the millennium. Even during the millennium, a time of perfect peace and prosperity, entropy takes place because it ends up in a mess also. And that'd be Magog. Okay, and then it goes out into eternity. Okay, so we're going to work on the judgment of the nations that takes place right at the end of the tribulation or Armageddon, right? It's part of the second coming, so there are several things that take place. Matthew 25 will be where we're at. Matthew 25. Much of the Bible is very, I think it's very simple if you just believe the words and let the words retain within their context. Matthew 25, 31. Matthew 24 and 25, Jesus Christ gives information about the tribulation. He actually uses the word in 24, 21. And then in 31 would be at the end of the tribulation, going into the second coming. And so the idea here is there's some practical things we get out of this, but the idea is that if we know the playbook, then we can be ready. You know, like, I don't know, New England Patriots, you know, they had a deflate gate, but they also had maybe spying in other football teams. Who knows and who cares? Okay, but Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man, when you read through the Bible, Son of Man is usually a Jewish designation or viewpoint of him towards Jews. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Okay, that right there is a no-brainer. If you read through the Bible enough, you know that his glory is his second coming. And all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Okay, and the first thing he's going to do is he's going to have a judgment. Okay, now if you're uncertain about that idea of the glory being the second coming, I'll give you a verse that you could take a look at. 1 Peter 1:11. Just so that we get our minds in the right place. 1 Peter 1:11. The Jewish people under the Old Testament did not know anything about us, the church, Gentiles. They think Gentiles are, you know, dogs, you know, bow wow, doesn't matter to me. Okay, the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And when he likes the dog, he gives you lots of crumbs. And so they don't know anything about this idea about the church time period. They didn't know anything about the judgment seat. They didn't know anything about the Godhead. There's several things they didn't know about that he revealed to Paul. 1 Peter 1, toward the end of the verse, it says, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. See, sufferings is first coming, glory is second coming. Now, when we read that, we know there's a gap of about 2,000 years between those two. The Jewish people didn't know that. And this is why the apostles said in Acts 1, when the Lord was getting ready to ascend bodily into heaven, they said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And that was a valid question, because they weren't revealed these things. And the Lord said, oh, no, you're not to know the times or seasons. And so then he gave Israel another opportunity in the book of Acts, and then they rejected it, and then now we go into the church age. So that's just kind of setting our footing. That's only one verse. There's a bunch more. And we'll get a little more evidence as we read down through this passage, Matthew 25:31. Now, the liberals and modernists, they take this passage and they think that you get eternal life by being good to your fellow man. And, of course, they want to do that because they're so full of lies. And when you challenge them, they're saying, you're not being nice to me, so therefore you don't get eternal life if you're not nice to me. Well, I can be nice to you and still call you a liar. Okay? And so, in verse 32, here's what he's going to do. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Okay, so nations one by one come in front of him and say, you know, come in, United States. I don't know if he's going to do it all 50 at one time or one nation at a time or state at a time. Either way, it doesn't matter. Okay, and then he's going to call in Belgium. Then he's going to call in Poland. Then he's going to call in, Afghanistan. So all he's going to bring in all these people from these certain nations. And then he's going to separate some of the people from those nations. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Okay, and so he'll say, like he'll bring in, you know, Germany. And then he'll say, okay, you you go on my right side, you're the sheep. And you're on my left side, you're the goats. So the vast majority are going to go on the side of the goats. And what's going to be the determining factor? Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand. So right there's a second witness. The king, Jesus Christ is King of Kings, shall say on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Four, why? Why do they get to go into that kingdom? For I was an hungered, and you gave me drink or meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now, when he says that to them, they're all scratching their head like, what are you talking about? When did we see that? 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying. Okay, now notice it's righteous, not born again, not saved. It's righteous. Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king, third witness, the king of kings, Lord of lords, the king, shall answer and say unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, my brothers, the Jewish people, the righteous, you've done it unto me. So in the tribulation time, when it's going to be the worst time ever known to man, it's going to make Adolf Hitler look like a Sunday school picnic. It's going to be the worst time. There are going to be individuals who will seek to help out the oppressed. Okay, in modern history, this did happen during World War II. Many, many people did this. The ones that we know of would be Corrie ten Boom family. The ten Boom family. They were Dutch people in Holland. When they discovered, when the Jews were had the star put on them, the yellow star, and they got, you know, oppressed, their things taken from them, and imprisoned in a ghetto, put in a ghetto first. And they, of course, the ghetto, the idea of the Nazis, you know who they learned that from? They told us who they learned it from. They learned it from the Jesuits. We've learned that from the Jesuits. Okay, so they put the Jewish people in the ghetto. And then there were some Dutch people like the Ten Boom family that reached, had Jewish people come to them, and they reached out and tried to help them. And they built in their house, in their apartment or the house, they built a fake wall. And so they would have the Jewish people in their house, and they would be quiet. They'd have to stay in the house. They'd have to go out and try to use their... They got certain little documents for so much food, and they had to try to barter with people and try to bring food to these people secretly without the Nazis finding about them. And when the Nazis came around, these people would go into this secret room, and they'd have the hidden wall. They knew that they were taking their life in their hands. And eventually, the Ten Boom family was arrested by the Nazis. Her father died in a concentration camp. Her sister died in a concentration camp. And Corrie made it through and then lived out her life, and she gave her testimony. Okay? She would be, they would be like the people, the sheep who took care of the righteous or the Jewish people. I wouldn't say right, but the Jewish people trying to help them. And so the Lord's going to honor that. Okay, so, but in the tribulation time period, that's what the Lord's doing. Now, if these Jewish people, as they're in prison, I'll show you some of that as far as scripture goes. Okay, if you're going to visit somebody in prison when you have one world government, one world economy, that is going to, that's like putting a bullseye on their head. Because you come and visit, I'm going to visit so-and-so in prison. Oh, okay. And they're going to be marked from then on out by the authorities. And they're taking their life in their hand, and the Lord's going to honor them for that. Okay? Even though it says that the devil is going to deceive the whole world, he's not going to get 100%. You still have a remnant. You still got some folks in there. Okay? And then he says in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, a thirst, a stranger, a naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And they ratted him out. Okay? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Okay, and so that tribulation time period is going to be the worst time ever known to man, where the entire world, obviously subtracting people that are the remnant or people that kind of reach out. You see, in the Lord's kingdom and in the devil's kingdom, they never get 100% followers. Okay, somewhere along the line in the Lord's kingdom, he will reveal some truths to his children, and if they reject it, then he's going to withdraw himself. They're still saved, but they're just not going to get some ideas in the Bible that other people might get. Okay, and he might throw it back in their face another time just to get to see their reaction. Well, the devil's kingdom's the same, where somebody's walking down this devil's kingdom and they're going to go so far, and they might keep going down that path and actually get into the human sacrifice, you know, where the devil's really got them. But then some might not want to go that far, and then the devil withdraws from them. There's a young lady down at Rensselaer many years ago, that was a Satanist. I think Jan met her in Remington and witnessed to her, and she made a profession of faith. Okay, and so she came to church, and she stood in the back, and she'd walk out, come back in, walk out, come back in, just nervous as could be because of all that baggage that she had. And on the second Sunday, we were taking her back home to Remington. We're driving past St. Joe College, and I just said off the cuff, where are the Covens around here? She said, well, I'm not saying. I said, what about St. Joe College? Well, I'm not saying. Okay, this is Podunk, Roselawn, Rensselaer, and Remington. Of course, that's her area. But she was asked by the coven to bring her child for a sacrifice. And she chose not to. Her motherly instinct said no. Well, she made a profession of faith and got out. So now, if she would have gone down that path, then the devil would have asked for more, continuing to ask. Okay, now this is stuff that these ideas are sheltered from a lot of us, thank the Lord. Okay, but it's still there. Let's go back in the Old Testament and see what the big deal is about this idea of Jesus giving these people the opportunity to live in the millennial time period. You see, there's going to be a lot of death during the tribulation time period. Over half the world population is going to be destroyed from two judgments. Two only. The seal judgment takes 1/4 of the world population. So let's say 6 billion. 1/4, that's 1.5 billion. Now, I know there's 7, but still you take that fourth, that ratio. And then the trumpet judgment says 1/3. So if you got 6 billion, you drop it down to 4.5 billion, and a third is another 1.5 billion. So that's 50% of the world population from two judgments. I mean, it's going to be the worst time ever known to man. And so a lot of these evil things are kept secret from us. Thank the Lord for that. But for some reason, you know, my wife and I sheltered growing up in a Christian home, me being raised on a farm, you know, an introvert, you know, I play with the dogs, the hogs, and the cat, you know, whatever that stuff. And so thank God for that. But for some reason, the Lord has allowed some people that have had some tragic things happen to their lives cross our path. Okay, and one of them was in Australia. This gentleman was kind of telling a little bit of his story. He's a saved man. His second wife was a full-fledged witch. He is being monitored by his family. And I started telling him about the story of Bill Sneblin without naming Bill Sneblin. And he said, you're talking about Bill Sneblin. I said, well, how do you know about that? I said, do you know this? And I gave him another name of a lady in Australia in 2015, reported her stories to the public authorities, and she was raised by former Nazis from Germany, where they went to Australia, and they were her grandparents, and she talked about the How far do you go in this stuff? It's shocking. I mean, if any of you watched Sound of Freedom, if anybody watched that, they tamed it down. That's tamed down. If the average person actually saw what was happening, you fry your brain. What these people do in secret. Okay, the Bible, the prophets of the Bible will give a verse here and another one here. And then the Bible wants us to meditate on it, think about it. But then, you want to make sure you stay your mind on the Lord too. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Usually what happens, these things are done in secret. This is part of secret societies. This is what goes on during political fundraisers and political parties in Christmas time, around that time, where they have cameras on politicians and they catch these politicians in a drunken situation, messing around with a kid, and they get this on film. And then this is how they blackmail politicians. Okay, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of the nations. What is it? There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Any parent that loves your children is going to say, why would you even think of that? But there are people that think of that. There are beings that revel in this, or that uses divination or observer of times, or an enchanter or a witch or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or a necromancer that's praying to the saints. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So he's warning Israel. This is why the Canaanites were booted out. This is why they were kicked out. This is why the Lord brought judgment on them. Why? Because many times this is done in secret societies. If this is done in a Bohemian grove out there in Australia, where they have a 40-foot statue of Molech, where Henry Kissinger would go out there and cross-dress and run through the woods. This is where they choose the presidents and then they finagle the elections to get whoever they want in charge. Well, this is the conspiracies that the Bible talks about. If you go backwards to Leviticus 18:21, this is the worst of the world. Now, thank the Lord, many of us are hidden from these things. If you watch the History Channel, you might have watched a little segment on the Mayans down there in South America, where the Mayans built a pyramid. Why would they have a pyramid? And then they would have worship of a snake and a serpent and a dragon. And then the society would get together and they'd sacrifice a person and throw them down that pyramid, and people would revel in this. Why? Because they're trying to appease their gods to gain wealth and popularity and stuff like that with their gods. And, in our culture, we say, this is crazy. I know it's crazy. When a society accepts it, that's when the Lord steps in. Okay, in Leviticus 18:21, this must be a problem because the Lord warned the Jews about it. Leviticus 18:21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. That's a 40-foot owl statue. That's an owl statue. That's where you get the idea of the all-seeing eye of the owl, the wisdom of the owl, and all that stuff. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Then if you go to chapter 20, he repeats it. When the Bible repeats these things, it must be a major problem. 20 verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. This is in a political arena. I mean, in those 30,000 hidden emails that, Hillary wrote, in one of them she wrote about sacrificing a chicken to Molech that night. Molech's still around. Or he's just another name of the devil. This is how people get in political favor. Now, did this happen in Israel? Sadly, it did. Sadly, it did. Okay, if you go to 2 Kings chapter 21, a fella named Solomon started off good, but boy, did he end up bad. Solomon, is a type of Christ in the early part of his life, but he becomes a type of the Antichrist, strangely, where he receives 666 talents of gold on an annual basis. 666 associated with Solomon. What did he do? He had a bunch of these wives. 2 Kings 21, verse 9. And they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Wow. I just gave you one verse. You can read through how evil it became under Manasseh. Manasseh was the child of Hezekiah. When God told Hezekiah, you're going to die, you know, you better get your life insurance policy paid up, you know, so the missus got something after you're gone. And then he said, oh, I don't want to die. Please don't let me die. He said, okay, oh, you big baby, I'll give you 15 more years. Oh, then Hezekiah, prove it. He said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to, you could make the sun go forward, but how about making it go backward about a little bit? The Lord says, well, I've got almost a whole day that I got to complete. I got about 40 minutes missing. So how about we'll go backward 10 minutes? And so the globe kept stopped spinning and, you know, spiraling and the sun's down and all this. Right. No, he just stopped the sun. Made it go backwards. And people in all the cultures are like, the sun god is angry. It's angry. And then they had a bunch of sacrifices. Is what they did. Well, that's Manasseh. That's the character. That's the rascal. Okay. Then there's another guy later on. That was Manasseh in Solomon. I'm sorry, I skipped Solomon. 2 Kings 11 is Solomon. 2 Kings 11, verse 7. No, I'm sorry, 1 Kings. I'll get it yet. 1 Kings 11 is Solomon. I skipped to Manasseh. Hey, you don't pay much. You don't get much these days. So verse 7, it said, then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, an abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Amnon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense as sacrifice unto their gods. And it says the Lord was angry with Solomon. And what he did, he brought this into the Jewish temple. So different nations have different names. You got Chemosh, you got Molech, you got Ashtoreth. That's where we get the word Easter. You have Baal. Okay, Baal, B-A-A-L, B-E-L is the shorter form. Beelzebub is the longer form. Baal is where you extend it to Cannibal. Cannibal, that's where that comes from, cannibal, because that's what they did in those days. And this is the extreme dark side of the world, usually in secret, where Ezekiel, he said he dug this hole in the wall. This is kind of what, you know, maybe in the tunnels under Disney World and all that stuff, these dark things take place. And so, but yet there's people that sometimes are survivors of these, and you might see some people, maybe the Lord will allow you to cross your path where they have absurd reactions. And if you love the Lord and if you love thy neighbor as thyself, you may not, it may take a while to figure it out, but you might be a help to them. It's like if you ever tried to help a wounded animal, what's the animal usually do to the person trying to help them? It lashes out. And people have these hurts everywhere. When you walk out, you go to the store, people have these hurts, these wounds. And they build up a wall because they don't want to get hurt again. But if they begin to trust a person, maybe they could start trying to help and the Lord can restore their soul. Okay? And this thing's happened in the world. And so maybe, you know, a person can consider that and realize, okay, I don't understand why they behave that way, but maybe there's some deep wound that we're not discovering if the Lord would give an opportunity to help them. But even at that, the God of this world, 2 Corinthians talks about the God of this world, for somebody to get political power and religious power when it's on an international level, that person has had to make a deal with Lucifer. Now, the exception proves the rule. Okay, you'll have exceptions, like King James was an exception, but he wasn't a perfect man. Who is? Okay, remember when Satan offered to Jesus, if you bow and worship me, I will give you these kingdoms. Why? Because he had the authority. God took the authority of those kingdoms from Israel, from Judah, in Jeremiah 22, and then transferred that delegation to Lucifer. And then he's been, it's called the times of the Gentiles. Then he delegates it to this Gentile and this one and then this one. And again, the exception proves the rule in these things. Okay? But in the tribulation time period, this is going to build. It's going to build. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation, flee to the mountain. And then Daniel describes the abomination. What is the abomination of desolation? It's got to be the worst thing ever known to man. What is it? It's when the Antichrist demands worship. And the Jewish people at that time, the 144,000, will say, oh, we've been duped. And they're going to believe in the true Christ. And then he's going to say, get them. And then he's going to sacrifice a Jewish person in the Jewish temple, televised. The world will revel in it. The world will revel in this. And that's when the Lord begins to step in. That's part of the judgment on Israel. Why? They said 2,000 years, let his blood be upon us and our children. And this is why the Lord is going to honor people who reach out to help them in tribulation. They're going to be able to go into the millennial time period because they're putting their life on their hands. Okay, let's see some scripture for this. Try Psalm 79 if you would. Many of the Psalms will jump into eternity. Usually if you see the word Selah, that's a direct hint of it. Psalm 79, and a lot of times I know Psalms, many of the Psalms we get great comfort from. But Psalm 79, verse 1, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. In a margin, if you don't have it in there, you could write Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2, because that's when it's fulfilled. What's going to happen? The dead bodies of thy servants. That's the servants in Revelation 7, 14 to 18, or 4 to 8. Have they given to be meat unto the fowls of heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there is none to bury them. We, that's this person speaking, the Jewish person, we are become a reproach to our neighbors. What neighbors? Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Egypt, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, all those Muslim countries surrounding Israel is going to come after them. A scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How long, O Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? First part of the trib, God's angry with Israel. Then he's angry with the world. Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob. Is that literal? Man, I can run about 20 verses just like that. Literal. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread? He's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Alfa Romeo Italian car has the symbol on the hood, a cross, and a lizard eating a person. A snake eating a person. Why? Because it's going to be based in Rome. That's where the Antichrist is coming out. What's going to happen to these people? If you drop down to verse 11, let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of thy power. Preserve thou them that are appointed to die. See, so they capture some of them. They don't want to do them all at once. They got to revel in this and then broadcast this. And so this is what's going to happen. Human trafficking. Selling of people. President Trump is the first president that ever brought that out in the forefront. It's been going on for years. been going on for years. Still goes on. Okay, and so the Bible prophesies of these things. And the Lord even mentioned this in Luke 21 when he said to them in verse 12, "But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues," so that's Jewish, "and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Is it any wonder in Hebrews 13:3, the Lord writes to the Jewish people, the Hebrews, he says, "Remember those who are in bonds as bound with them." That's why he says that in Hebrews. I mean, doctrine, the book, the Bible is just a fascinating book. It puts all these pieces together when it gets into the tribulation. Now, anybody that tries to relieve the burden of these people, if you want to look in Zechariah 12, these guys wrote about this. Today, with the little warm-up going on there in Gaza, today, the vast majority of the world would support Israel on that. But when you pull out the believers, pre-tribulation rapture, that influence goes away. And boy, the world is going to turn into anti-Semitic, just like that. They're going to turn against Israel. And anybody that wants to side with them or try to help them, they're in danger of their life. Zechariah 12, verse 3, it says this, "And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people." They get tired of hearing about it on the news. And then it says, "All that burden themselves with it," people who try to take on their burden, try to help them, "shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." That's why the judgment of the nations, he honors those people of the tribulation time period. Thank God we got the pre-tribulation rapture. Amen. Thank God for that. Okay? But still, this is everything's setting up just as the Bible teaches. It's fascinating. One more place. If you would go to Joel chapter 3. So you got Daniel, Hosea, Joel. 1331 in a okay reference Bible. Page 1331. Joel. This is the Old Testament prophesying of the judgments of the nation that Jesus talks about. So here it's prophesied in the Old Testament by Joel 2,800 years ago. And then it's prophesied by Jesus 2,000 years ago. And you'll see that it's the same event that they're talking about. Joel chapter 3. And then we'll see why they're talking about it. "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." So he's going to restore them. When he writes it like that, bring the captivity, he's going to restore Israel to their kingdom. So what's he going to do? "I will also gather all nations." Exactly what Jesus said. "And I'll bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat." So this is a valley in Israel. "And will plead with them there for my people." What people? Christians? No, Christians are God's people, but it's not the people he's talking about. "For my heritage, Israel." What have these Gentiles done to Israel? "Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land." Israel's like that today. Israel's parted here, Gaza here, got here, Bethlehem, that's Muslim. You got here, you got there. It's all parted. And he's going to scatter them throughout the world. James 1, 12 tribes scattered abroad, greeting. Why are they doing it? "They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot, sold a girl for wine that they might drink." Human trafficking. It's funny, the word traffic you'll find in Ezekiel 28 associated with Lucifer. Trafficking. You'll find in Isaiah 23 where Isaiah mentioned that the honorable of the earth are traffickers. The honorable, that's the politicians. Okay? It's all until then, it's all been secret, but now you're starting to see a light of it coming out. And in the tribulation time period, people will revel in this. They'll revel in this. And then verse 4, yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coasts of Palestine? That's the only time the word Palestine is found in the Bible. Only time. Back in 2003, when I was putting this Bible together, I saw that Palestine. And I put a footnote back then, there's going to be a place called Palestine someday. And it's not going to be Israel's. The Palestinians in Gaza, they're not Palestinians. They're Arabs. The true Palestine is a Jew. But the world's going to call that Palestine. And we're seeing that right in the forefront today. Joel mentioned it back 2,800 years ago. And he says, will you render to me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried unto your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians. The Greeks. Selling Jewish people. Why? Judgment. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. God said, okay, we're going to do that. When we're done, I'm going to pardon you. And then he says, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither thou hast sold them and will return your recompense on your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. And then the Lord does the opposite to the United Nations. He mocks them, trash talking. He says, proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war come near. Let them come up, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Lord, get together. I got one match I want to strike. Get them all together. And then notice 14, multitudes, multitudes in a valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in a valley of decision. Okay, so we understand now that there are seven judgments in the Bible. The judgments of the nations will be the people that begin the millennial time period, because the Lord needs a population of people. And the ones that get there will be twofold, well, actually threefold people. One will be people that survive, amazingly, if they survive the trib, and they were the sheep. The other would be people who died in the tribulation will be resurrected, and then they will begin to populate the millennial time period. And a third one is kind of a rare one where you don't hear very few people talking about it. Mike Pearl is probably one of the very few men that talk about this. And that is where Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, of such is the kingdom of heaven. That will be the children who died before an accountability, where they were able to believe in the Lord, where they will, it appears, I'm not being hard dogmatic, but it certainly appears this way, that they will be the ones who will come into the millennial time period, will live out their natural life and have an opportunity to receive the Lord. Okay, that's an option. So if a believer today possibly had a child die, you might be able to watch them grow in the millennial time period and influence your own child during that time period. Wouldn't that be man, you'll be a perfect parent. Man, wouldn't that be something to think about? That'd be a wonderful time. Again, Mike Pearl is about the only one I know that teaches on that. Maybe Mike Caesar does. But I'm not sure. But it's still an idea. It's a thought. But still, this is the next thing on the program as we're coming down this calendar, the judgment of the nations. I'm not so concerned about that myself. I'm worried. I'm working about the above stuff there. The judgment seat of Christ. That's the big one for us. And what's going to help us with that is that when you love the Lord and then you want to love your neighbors yourself, when there's an unusual response, don't give up on that person. You know, just, you know, I'll try to ask the Lord to help that individual and do what you can, because everywhere you go, people have wounds. Everywhere you go, they're hurting. And possibly there'd be a way that a person could reach out and help them out. Okay, we'll stop there and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be students of your word, very sincere, very adamant students, and we rightly divide the word. And Lord, I thank you for revealing your words, your future agenda. It's quite clear, it's quite obvious if a person just believes the words. And help us to do what we can to occupy till you come, until we see you face to face. And that we might be faithful to thee and recognizing that the only ticket for us for heaven or the millennial time period is to be born again. As you said, if you're born again, you'll see and you'll enter the kingdom of God. But we can make it better. We can make it better by believing your words and being faithful to thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.